We have a very bright screen with a beautiful message in it. I have to say that I haven't read this verse often enough, and so I'm very happy that we can read this verse together and look at it, and also the verses in Acts. But these are really all, this is a word of God, offered to God, acceptable worship with reverence and with awe. Is there someone that you revere in your life that you can look back, or maybe presently now? Morning. Yeah, so is there somebody that you look up to, you could say, I really, you know, like I feel like they're really awesome. Right? That word awe, it's a pretty popular word, isn't it, in our society? I don't know about in Chinese, but... In English, we say awesome. How are you doing? You know, oh, that's awesome. You know, something like that, right? So we use that word pretty often. But do we often think of awe, you know, in that kind of a way? And so it's very close to our language that we're using in our lives. And so we do well to be aware of it in the Word of God, that it comes from the awe. Of you're in awe of something. What are some things that you think are really awesome, or a person that you think of as being really awesome in your life? Anybody want to say? Sorry? Sunset. Yeah. There's a really awesome sunset, right? Yeah. The ocean. Sunrise. I almost said, yeah, the sunset, every morning, that's because I'm confused, you know. That's at the end of the day, in case you... Anything else? The wind? Yeah. Yes, sir? Okay, you're awesome too. Yeah. I think my wife is awesome, you know. I really do. She's awesome. I expect a really good meal now, so I can, in return for that. Well, she always gives me awesome meals. So. Anyway, but isn't it fun to think about awesome, right? Things that are awesome, and how often do we do it, right? Do we think about God? And now, if you think about reverence, and you're going to revere somebody, you know, that's a word we don't use as often, but we should, right? Because it's in God's word, and he's saying to us, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. With reverence is like with revere. We revere someone. It means to hold them in honor very highly, someone in your life that you feel like you really revere them. Now, how does it get to that point? Well, it comes through your experience with that person, right? It could be someone you don't know that you read about and you feel like, wow, I really, really look up to that person. That is a great example to me. You know, in your studies, or if you're in sports or in the arts, or if you're in science or in different kinds of things, and you feel like, wow, that person has really made an impact on my life. You know, oftentimes we revere our parents, right? We should. I think I've told you before, but I love telling this story. I'll tell it again. There was a guy in college. I went to Montclair State College for a semester, two semesters. And when I was there, the thing that I took away from that whole experience was this tough guy. He was a football player, and he got up in front of this class, and it was a speech class. You know, and some people have a gift for speaking and some don't, and we kind of have an idea of who we think is going to be good at speaking. This guy was a tough football player, and he got up in front, and he got all emotional saying, I want to speak about my dad. And that made a big impact on all of us sitting there and listening to this guy talk about how he looks up to his father. You know, now, if we were to take that and then use that in reference to our Father in heaven, then we start to understand how we should act and what we want to be thinking about God. Revere does not mean distance yourself from them. It means to honor them and to love them and to respect them in every aspect of our lives, right? And so that's what we transfer over then into our relationship with God. We have relationships in our life that teach us how we can then approach and honor God in our lives. So people are very important. They're here for a very important purpose. In the adult class after this, we're going to be talking about being made in God's image. And that if we're made in God's image, then we're going to have a knowledge of these kind of feelings about life and about, you know, valuing life and desiring to bring good and to be gentle and kind and all the things of the Spirit, right, that teach us these type of things. And then when we see those in practice around us in each, in one another's life, then we respect one another and we look up to one another and we feel like, wow, you know, I'm learning something from that person too. I know for a fact that each one of you has made an impact on someone's life. You have made an impact on someone's life in your life. Right? And so that is a wonderful, wonderful gift of God to give us today, to remind us that we are here for a purpose, and it is as the image of God, so we are going to be showing that image, reflecting that image to other people. And in the nature, nature is there also for that reason, to point to God, right, to teach us how we are to respect and honor, revere, and be in awe of God. But this awe and revere, the great thing about God is another thing we're going to be talking about in the class is God's grace. That although we have sinned against God, and we all are sinners, still he loves us. Still he loves us. Yesterday we had a CEF training, and we're going to be presenting the wordless book to the kids. It's a book that has colors instead of words in it, and you have to explain what the colors mean to children. I did this one time. You know, I explained it actually one time for a combined service. But that is what was brought across during that session. It was to let children know that, yes, there is sin, and there's this dark color represented in the book for that sin, but then there is the clean page in the book that represents the forgiveness of our sins, and learn that although there is darkness, Jesus' light brings this clean and pure heart through his blood on the cross, right? And so still, God loves you. And we see that also in our relationships, and we should be practicing that. You hurt me, but still I love you. Amen? And so we develop this appreciation for worship when we see those kind of things at play and when we see them in God and in his word. Now, there's one word that we need to really pay attention to, and it's, I have to admit, I also read over it in going to this part because I had revere and awe of God on my mind. But actually, it starts with another word in verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be grateful for a kingdom, right? For receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so our gratitude, our thankfulness really needs to be in our hearts each day. You know, I've been reading these prayers to help myself pray and to be more purposeful in my prayers. I've been reading, there's four prayers that were put online. Someone put them online, taken from John Calvin, and he was a great reformer, someone who stood up for the faith and for the purity of the church and really wants us to think about. And he wrote these prayers. And they're kind of wordy. You know, he comes from a different time. It was about the, you know, I think the 1400s. So you have to really take your time and sort through them a little bit. But at heart, what he's doing is he's expressing awe and reverence in his worship in prayer. And so when we take that prayer and we start to think about it in that way and consider God, like if you were to, in your own language, whatever your language is, the first language, if you were to sit down and really take time and feel like I'm going to be writing a letter to someone really important. You know, it could be any, like, you can think of someone that you respect in the world. You would probably not say, hey, what's up? You know, I mean, you would take some time and say, dear sir or madam, I respectfully write you today to express what is on my heart and to tell you how much I think of you. My father told me one time it would be great for me to write Dwight Eisenhower. He was the president, and he was also a general, and my father was in the army. And so he said, you know, Dwight Eisenhower would be really, really happy to receive a letter from you. And so if I were to write him in that kind of a way, I would, you know, I could be myself, but at the same time, I would want to address it with some kind of respect and acknowledgement of the position that he's in, because he's a general and the president of the United States, and so I would need to voice myself in that kind of a way. Well, it's actually good for us to have that kind of practice with God. I'm all for, and I think you would agree, that it's good to be yourself with God. You know, there's times when you just say, I can't stand it anymore. I'm so frustrated. Can you help me? You know, some people would say, what are you doing up there? Don't you know that we're down here suffering? You know, those kind of things come out of us. But on a regular basis, when we come before God, we want to do it with awe and reverence in worshiping him. We want a worshipful kind of a heart. And those are kind of areas of our hearts that we want to practice in life anyway, right? It is a great discipline for us to be able to write a letter to someone or to write down thoughts in a way that are going to be done with that respect for life. It doesn't have to be wordy. It doesn't have to be a lot of words, but it needs to be with the right heart so that you're appreciating that person. Oftentimes, people wait till it's too late, when the person has died. And then they get up and they say these words about them at a funeral or something like that. And it's like, well, let's practice it before. Let's say those things to those people before. Let's share what we think about them before. Right? So you want to have that kind of a thought. There was a song by a group, I can't remember their name right now, but it was a rhythm and blues group. And it said, respect yourself. Respect yourself. It's like, you think you're big, you think you're tough, you think you're all these things, and you can just do whatever you want, but think about it. You know, it's a call to actually taking yourself more seriously and looking within yourself and being humble, you know, and showing a humble side to people, and that will go much farther. Respect yourself. Respect your life. And then also it translates for us into respecting God. But these things are the things we want to do ourselves and then teach to other people. For the young guys, right, you guys are young, and Caitlin, you're young, and so you have these things to learn in your life as you're growing up. It's a great thing to acquire the ability to express yourself in a respectful way toward people and to be able to let them know that you're praying for them and that you're there for them. You can have an influence. Molly's there too. So all of you have this life that you're given, and you're young in it, and so you begin to understand the impact that you will have on other people, and so you reach out to them and let them know who you are. It doesn't have to be much. It could just be a simple, actually, you can send a card and let someone else do the talking. But you want to reach out to somebody and let them know how you're feeling about them. It takes us away from our self-centeredness and puts us into the area where Jesus wants us to be, which is to care more about others than ourselves. But though all those things are going on there, right? And so being thankful is a very, very important part of our lives that leads us to this acceptable worship, which is reverence and awe for our God. And it says he's a consuming fire. Now, why would he say he's a consuming fire? Is he trying to put fear into our hearts? Yes, but not the kind of fear that we are going to run away from God, but one that we will bow down before God and that we will worship God and know that he has the power to end everything. And yet, what did he do? He gave his son instead to die for our sins. He took our punishment. He took our blame. And he hung on the cross so that we would not have to die, and feel the wrath of his fire. So this consuming fire is a very important part of this verse because we need to remember who God is. When do we get away from that? Well, it could be very, very easy to do, and we learn things along the way. One of the trends talking about language is that we'll say, whatever. Now, you may think like, well, that's not so bad, is it? Well, it is. It is if you use it in every sentence that you talk about. You know, we acquire these kind of words in our language. Another one is yada, yada, yada. You ever heard that? Yada, yada, yada. Well, that is a very depressing kind of expression. You're not using the gift of language and of putting your thoughts into what you're saying. You're throwing in the towel. That means you're giving up. You're not taking time to really think about something that is going to be valuable or that is going to make an impression or an impact on people. You are throwing in the towel. You're giving up by saying yada, yada, yada. There's other things as well. That to me, and I really believe that this is one of the lessons for us today, is to remember that God is disrespected by that kind of an attitude and using that kind of an attitude in life. We are throwing in the towel. We're not pursuing the higher things that he desires for us to pursue. And also, in addition to that, when we say unkind things to people, we are throwing in the towel. We're giving up. We're not living for God. We're not reverently and with awe living our life to respect people so that we will not allow ourselves to go there and to say things that are unkind and that are going to make people feel sad and upset. So we have a lot of things that we have been given by God, but we don't want to throw it off into whatever. We don't want anybody to be, I don't want somebody talking about me like that, right? Like, oh, whatever, forget him, right? You know, it's another one, forget her, forget him. Give up on it, he's not worth it. Right? All those things are a part of our language that we use, and it comes from our heart. And what God is saying to us, offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Now, do we have bad days? Yeah. God understands that. Do we have times when we do those kind of things? Yes, because life is sometimes very frustrating. But we don't want to stay in that. We want to move away from those things and say, I'm going to give my life to God fully, no matter what happens. I'm going to stand on his promises. I'm going to stand on his greatness. You guys sang about how great is our God. That's a great song, right? So that's the attitude that we want to have in life. It's a grateful attitude. God is great. Right? I don't know why I wasn't going to really bring this up, but I want to tell you a story that I think it kind of helps in a way to help you know that God understands us and that he's not asking too much of us. But one time, my son was playing a basketball game, and I went to almost every one of his games when he was on the high school team. And we used to have a lot of fights coming home, you know, and oftentimes I'd be like, what were you doing out there today? And he'd go, we'd be going at it, and my wife would be like, hey, how was the game? And we'd walk in, and we were like, we had these faces on, like, you know. And we love each other. You know, I mean, we're pretty tight, I would say, but we fought. And this one time, I said to him, what in the world was going on? And this time, I wasn't really angry. I was more like flabbergasted. I was thinking, what was going on with you? And at first he didn't want to talk about it. But then later on, it turned out that someone had said something to him, one of his friends had said something to him, and it was devastating. It was devastating to him, so that he could not play. Ever been there? You ever feel like you've been in that place where you just feel like somebody says something to you and it throws you off and you just start to like, your mind is not on what you're doing. You can't think about your work. You can't think, you forget things and you're just like, and that was the way Johnny was feeling. And there I was like, what's wrong with you? You know? So the one of the things, first of all, I want to say is don't be like me. Have patience with people and try to understand where they're coming from and ask them what's going on. Because there's usually something going on. Okay, if we're all honest. There's going to be something going on in our life that's going to throw us. And so the best way to think about it is we want to respect someone's problem going on in their life and treat them with dignity and with reverence and with awe, the way God is asking us to look at Him. Treat each other in the way that God is teaching us to treat Him, because we're in the image of God. It's beautiful, right, when it works like that. Be grateful, revere God, worship Him with reverence and with awe, and let it reflect in your life. Don't throw in the towel. Don't succumb to what people are doing all around you and saying. Be God's image. Show people how it's supposed to be done. Surprise people. In the moment when they're thinking you're going to be really, really angry, surprise them and exhibit the grace of God and say, let's talk about it. What's going on? I care about you. I love you. Yeah, more than my expectations of you to achieve. I care about you. There's a guy in Acts that we read about today, too. His name was Cornelius. And it says here in Acts chapter 10, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. And then it says this, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. Right? He was devout. He was reverent. He revered God. He worshiped God with awe. Right? That's what this word is saying, a devout man who feared God. Fear of God is this awe and reverence for God. And how did he express it? He gave alms, he gave to the poor generously, and he prayed continually to God. That is what it means to revere God and to be in awe of God, worshiping God. Give to people who are poor, who are down and out and don't have anything, because we all have enough to give. Right? And he prayed continually to God. And what did it result in? God coming to him, sending this angel to him. This is just amazing. Cornelius, he says, and he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And there is reverence for God. What is it, Lord? What do you want to say to me, Lord? If you think that you can, when you pray, this isn't going to happen, I think you're mistaken, okay? These things are not written in the Bible for only to happen to certain people. I mean, he was someone that was chosen to be appearing in this story, but there are people that talk to God all the time and have that experience where someone answers and says something to them. And the response when you have God speak to you that way is often fear. But it's a fear that is really, really good for us because we realize who God is and who we are. Our pride, man, you gotta be careful, right? We have to all be careful because pride will creep in to things and we think we're doing okay. You know, we're actually humble people. I love God. I give to the poor. I do all these different things. But if your heart isn't in it and if you really aren't fearful of God, and you're not doing things in that kind of a way, then we're on the wrong track. I'm going to read a scripture in just a second to show you that. And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God, a worship of God. Your prayers, right? And your alms, giving to the poor, have reached and gotten the attention of God. And what did he do? He came into his life and he taught him about Jesus Christ and his life was saved and his household also. So you see the power of prayer and of fearing God and of respecting God and living in a way that is giving to the poor and wanting the best for other people, and then also praying steadfastly each day. It's so important to pray. And know that your prayers are going to be answered. This is one of the big things that we've been hearing. And we need to have faith and revere God, and in faith, when he says, ask and it will be given to you, we need to revere that and be in awe of that, that generous message from him, and believe it. Faith comes there in those moments of revering and being in awe of God, fearing God in that kind of a way. So in my devotional sharing today for the lectionary, there was a verse in Psalm 78, and it talks about this, and just give me a second to find it. Okay, so it's a long psalm, but this is bringing across the way that people sometimes get. In spite of all this, they still sinned, and despite his wonders, they didn't believe. Despite all the wonders of God, they didn't believe. So he made their days vanish like a breath and their years in terror. And when he killed them, this is like people, they sought him, they repented and sought God earnestly. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. And then listen to this. They did all of that. He struck them with punishment, but then this happened. But they flattered him with their mouths, and they lied to him with their tongues. So that what happened in that at that time when they were shown that their sin was too great, they flattered God with their words. They flattered him with their attitudes, right? They seem to have repented. It looked like that anyway. But their heart, it says in verse 37, their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant. So they were lying to God. In the moment, they didn't really believe it. They were not really in their heart of hearts believing and fearing God. They just put on a show. Said the right things, right? But then what happened after that? In all that moment, you would think God killed them, right? What does it say? Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. And that is exactly what is going on with Jesus. We do all these different things. We try to put it on. We try to lie to God. We try to put on a show. We try to think, okay, I'm going to flatter him. I'm just going to say the right things that I've been taught in my life, that I learned in church, and I can do that. And God hears those lies, and he sees the attitude that isn't right, and how does he react? Grace, love, forgiveness. They flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him. Their heart was not steadfast, yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and didn't destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up his wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again. God knows who we are. He knows that we have those tendencies, and he's forgiving. And so that is what he wants us to know today. That we revere him with awe and with these awe and reverence and worship him, being grateful for what he has done, that he is a God full of compassion. And when we hear those words, then we're grateful for it, and our hearts turn from ones that flatter God into ones that revere and are in awe of God. And that is our true worship, acceptable worship. It's the truth. So where are we today? We need to ask ourselves, where are we today? Are we just simply going through motions? Are we letting ourselves fall into that kind of a rhythm in our life? Then today would be a day we want to change that and say, God, I've been doing that. I want to really, really worship you. I'm grateful for what you've done for me. Teach me. I know that I flatter you sometimes and I don't mean it. I'm just trying my best to get through. And God says, I hear you. I hear you. This is what I'm desiring. I need you to say these things to me, to be honest with me, because I can't do anything for you when you lie. But when you tell me the truth about your sin, I will forgive you and I will raise you up and I will give you eternal life. And that's what God does for each one of us. He comes in those moments where we say to him, I've messed up, I've done wrong. I admit that I've done this, Lord, and I'm ashamed of doing it. And he says, I love you, I forgive you, put away the shame and follow me. And so that is what we have today for our lesson, to worship God with acceptable worship, in reverence and in awe, to change the way that we talk and the attitudes of our hearts so that we act differently. We act in the way that is going to be as an image of God in this world. Understanding people, our children, our parents, our friends, these different people in our lives, and also our own lives, when things don't happen the way that we want to, that we remain in Him and we have faith in Him and we never talk against God. Because He loves us, and He has the best in mind for us, and He's greater than we are. And He knows that we are going to grow a lot if we have faith in Him. And so we're thankful for this word today that came from the Bible, and as we prepare for communion, let us sing a song that will be in our hymn books.